Hello, I'm Christopher Purdy for WOSU Classical 101. Conductor Antoine Clark and I are going on a journey together, exploring the careers of African-American conductors. And this podcast is about Dean Dixon. Antoine Clark is a clarinetist and conductor, and he formed the McConnell Arts Center Chamber Orchestra. He's a busy man. He's like Dean Dixon, who we're talking about in this broadcast, who had to form his own orchestra 75 years ago to get himself conducting work. Antoine, is it proper that we talk about African-American conductors, or should we just be talking about conductors who happen to be African-American?
I think the latter. I would like to think that we are in a point in our time and history that musicians, no matter what race they are, can go out if they have talent and present their art. But I do think that being an African American, I've seen that we are underrepresented within this field.
We're talking about Dean Dixon. He was born in Harlem in 1915, got off to a great start, went to Juilliard, went to Columbia, got master's degrees in teaching and conducting, was kind of a wunderkind, formed three orchestras, including the Dean Dixon Symphony. He came to the attention of Eleanor Roosevelt and through that conducted the NBC Symphony and the New York Philharmonic, and then Zippo. Then he had to go to Europe, where he lived and did very well for about 20 years. Let's talk about the opportunity, if even the A word, acceptance, is it still a problem?
Maybe. Obviously, to be a great artist, you need to have talent. And then you need the opportunity or the big break. And Dixon felt like he had done a lot of work. He had worked with the New York Philharmonic, and he still couldn't get any attention. And there were times where he faced blatant racism and was told that he didn't fit, you know, the bill, so to say.
I want to read you a quote from Virgil Thompson, the great composer and critic in the New York Herald Tribune. He was reviewing Dean Dixon's, one of his early concerts in 1941 in New York, and he writes, "It is absurd that colored people to good musical education should be constrained by mere organizational deficits in our society to working always in the folk and popular styles." That's Virgil Thompson writing in 1941. It's almost an apology, you know? It's almost an apology that this artist, this young man, Dixon, was not getting the opportunities. Could that be written today?
I would say yes and no. I know some African-American conductors who are doing quite well. I'm friends with Kazim Abdullah, who conducts in Aachen, Germany. And he's had a wonderful career thus far. He's gotten to conduct all over the country. But I think some of these conductors today still may feel that they are pigeonholed. Maybe they are invited to conduct concerts that might have themes of Martin Luther King Day or
Porgy and Bess.
Yes, right. Yes. And so I still do think it is a struggle for black conductors to be seen by the greater community as someone that can represent that position.
The newly published biography of Dean Dixon, which I think is the first one, and he died 40 years ago, is by Rufus Jones Jr. It's called Dean Dixon, Negro at Home, Conductor Abroad. What did you learn about him when you read this book?
Well, I was really fascinated about his story from his childhood. He was brought up with little means, but he had a hardworking life. His mother really pushed him to study hard, and he made every opportunity that he could to do well. So it was just inspiring to see that in a person, no matter what their race, to go out and try to make those opportunities happen.
He went to Paris in 1949 to conduct the radio orchestra in Paris at their invitation and didn't come back to the States until 1970. He became the music director of what is now called the Frankfurt Radio Symphony, and he had a symphony and orchestra also in Gothenburg in northern Sweden and in Australia with the Sydney Symphony. So he was very busy, and he made recordings in Prague and London. Here's a little bit of Liszt's Les Préludes with Dean Dixon conducting the Royal Philharmonic.
Thank you.
That's a bit of Les Préludes, the symphonic poem by Franz Liszt, Dean Dixon conducting the Royal Philharmonic in the 1950s. Antoine, your comments on that performance?
Yes, I listened to this recording before, and the recording quality, of course, is a little bit difficult. I thought it was a good performance. I haven't studied Les Préludes as much as I would like to, but I felt like it was maybe very expressive on the reserve side, I felt, but a really good performance.
When we were researching recordings to use in this series for Dean Dixon, we had to take things off YouTube. Mm-hmm. There really wasn't anything. Mm-hmm. There was very, very little, if anything at all. And he lived into the 1970s. He could have been making records in 1972, 73, and there really isn't anything. He did record extensively in the 50s, and these days, with everything reissued five times, I'm stumped as to why his recordings aren't available.
Right. Well, I read that he wanted any recording that he put out to have a high level. And some of the orchestras that he had worked with at that time, he felt like he needed to get them to a higher level before he put that out.
It's interesting you say that, because when he was a very young man and invited to conduct the NBC Symphony, that was Toscanini's orchestra. Mm-hmm. And there was some dissension in the ranks. First of all, he was African-American and he was 25. He was very, very young. And he corrected somebody in a rehearsal, mm-hmm. and that didn't go over very well at all. And he was invited to return, in fact, to conduct in their regular season in Carnegie Hall. But it's noteworthy, I think, that people really fussed mm-hmm. that this young African-American man corrected somebody. And I'm sure he was right. He was the conductor.
Right. Well, it goes to show that, you know, he had to deal with these issues. Someone seeing his race before they saw his talent. And that's quite unfortunate.
He returned to America in 1970 to conduct the New York Philharmonic in the Summer Parks concerts, which was troubling to him a little bit because he was at the level where he should have been in Lincoln Center. He should have been in Avery Fisher Hall in the main season. And that did happen the next year. And he went on to conduct in Philadelphia and Boston and New York again. It was a good homecoming, but sadly he passed away. In 1976, at the age of 61, he had fought health problems for a number of years. What's his legacy?
You can see him as the person whom other black conductors rely on or stand on their shoulders, I guess I should say. He was one of the first to go out and show that it shouldn't be about race. It should be about your heart, your understanding of this great art, what you have to offer. And I think many conductors today who are in their position realize that when they look back on Dixon.
And we'll go out listening to Dean Dixon conduct the Prague Symphony, Haydn's Symphony 92, the Oxford. For Classical 101, I'm Christopher Purdy with Antoine Clark.